Welcome to Millington Baptist Church. The message you are about to hear was delivered at Millington by Dr. Peter Pendel.
And that will be your story. He will raise you up on eagle's wings every time you need it, and every addition will be another piece of your story. That's what your story is. It's a rendition of how God has raised you up on eagle's wings. That's all it is. There's no more mystery in it than that. And that is incredibly powerful. Now, I know some of you are looking at folks who were up here before, and all of us have a tendency to do this and saying, boy, I wish I had his story, or if I had her story, I'd tell that story everywhere, but my story is so boring, my story doesn't go very far, I'd like to have his story. Well, let me help you excuse that idea from your mind, because if you had his story, you would have had to go through all the pain and bear some of the scars that his story brings with it. You don't want any more pain than you already have, and you don't want any more scars than you already have, so be content with your own story. And secondly, your story is unique. It's your story. It's a story that God wants to use through you. His story is the story that God wants to use through him, and her story is the story that God wants to use through her. But he doesn't want to use your story through you, or her story through you, or his story through you. He wants to use your story. I'd love to take a few minutes this morning to talk about your story and to talk about how important it is and how you can share it as much as you ever get any opportunities to share it. So if you'll bear with me, I'd love to talk about that for a few minutes, because I'm convinced that your story is just as important as any other story that was told up here today with cardboard or any other way, whether in song or spoken word. In fact, let me reinforce once again, your story is, yeah, that's really profound, isn't it? Your story is your story. It's not his, not hers, doesn't have to be. It's your story. Take a Bible with you, if you would, please, and use the Pew Rack Bible if you'd like to, and go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let me read to you, starting, I think it's with verse 13, page 1202, if you're using one of those Pew Bibles, and you're free to use that same translation as I'm using likewise. By the way, welcome back to our teen leaders who were away on a leadership retreat. Thank God for them and for the work that they're doing. Thank God for Rob Cords and Sonia Cords, who celebrate 1 year tomorrow as the maybe it's not interim anymore, it's part-time director of youth ministries. And unfortunately, we're going to say goodbye to them in that role end of this month, but thank God for them. Thank God likewise that Nathan and Alex Jones are here. And their grandpa, Ed Zarnecki, is here, who used to be on staff here at Millington. And Nathan and Alex's dad used to be on staff here at Millington. And Nathan took his dad to Texas so Nathan could get a new kidney. Alex, excuse me, thank you. And if you want to see the story of a miracle, talk to those folks. Thank God for them. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm starting with verse 13. Who's going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be afraid. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do so with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. You see why I say your story is your story? It says it in verse 15. It's your hope, not my hope, not somebody else's hope. It's your hope. When people ask you what's going on in your life and why do you have hope, they're not asking about my hope. They're asking about your hope. When you answer back, you don't want to talk about me. You want to talk about you. So this is a very personal story. It's your story. As I say that, let me remind you of something, though, and that is that the source of your hope is really twofold, and it's almost like standing squarely on 2 feet. And I don't mean to detract from one for the other, but part of your hope is based on the solid promises of God's Word that don't change. They don't change when your mood goes bad. They don't change when your emotions are up or when your emotions are down. God's Word stays steady, and we have promises in God's Word, and you keep one foot steadily on those promises. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's one of those promises you can trust in from now until the cows go home. He will never leave you or forsake you. Another promise that fits into that category is from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that means when I die, there's no in-between place to go to. There is no checking to see if I'm going to make it or not. It is absent from the body. I'm dead, and my spirit leaves and goes to be with the Lord. That's a promise, okay? So a part of your hope is going to be solidly placed upon that promise from God. The other foot is going to be solidly placed, though secondarily, on your story. Because your story is an explanation of how in this life these promises came to pass. Now, I know your story isn't as important as the Word of God. I understand that, and I don't mean to say it is. But what people need to hear is your story, because simply hearing about the promises with no fulfillment in the 21st century doesn't get very far with people. They want to know that it's now. It's really making a difference now, and you can trust God today. And because it's your story, nobody can disprove it. Now they can say you're crazy, and I understand that, and they can say they don't agree with you, and I understand that, and they can say, well, I saw it some other way, and that's fine, but they can't say that's not your story. That's not what happened to you, because it's your story. It's not theirs. It's not mine. It's not somebody else's. It's yours. If you know Jesus Christ, and you've seen him work in your life, and you see him especially on a daily basis work in your life, it's awfully hard to get away from that testimony from somebody who says that, because it's your story. And remember, your story alone is not enough. Your story needs to be based on the promises of God, and you need to go back to the Scriptures and check your story out, make sure that it doesn't contradict what's here. I understand that this is the sieve that it goes through. This is the screening process. But once you've done that, your story is your story. Don't be afraid to tell it. Don't wish you had somebody else's story, because your story is the one that God wants to use through you. There's something else that's important about your story. Your story is a powerful story. Every one of us, if we know Christ, we've got a powerful story. And it's not just because we gave up drugs. If you didn't give up drugs, then that's not a part of your story. If you didn't go through an awful divorce and then find Christ, that's not part of your story. But every story is powerful. There's a statement in Revelation chapter 12 that really strikes my interest when I talk about that. John, the apostle, is giving testimony. He says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say," and here's what it said, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." It's an incredible statement of the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ over all the enemies, including the final enemy, who is Satan, who will be hurled down. Listen to how it goes on from there. Verse 11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." So who is this that overcame them? Well, it's our brothers and our sisters. That's who overcame them, who gave their lives because they were so convinced that Jesus is the Christ. They couldn't turn away from that. And they had seen it in their own life, in their own story, and they just couldn't deny that. So they gave their lives. They're the ones. And how did they do that? Well, they did it by the testimony of God in the Word of God, and they did it by their own stories. That's how they did it. Their own stories were a part of it. And some of the stories seem small, probably. Some of them seem large. But they were willing, because those stories were so real, to live by them and to die by them. Did you know that the word martyrion is the word that we get our translation witness from? And it is also the word that we get our word martyr from. A martyr is the ultimate witness. And these folks loved Christ so much, they were so convinced that his word was true, and they had seen it live itself out in terms of their own life and their story, that they told it. And it had the kind of power that was necessary to overwhelm the enemy. Your story is powerful. No, it's not like mine. It's not like hers. And it's not. It doesn't have to be. It is your story, friend. Please don't limit its efficacy. Don't limit its power, its strength, because your story is the one that God wants to use in the lives of men and women wherever they are. Truth is a powerful weapon. And so God's word comes, and God's word is like a seed. And, you know, you plant God's word in the hearts and lives of people, and it becomes that which God uses to germinate and to grow into something that's beautiful and rich and supplies for other people around it. That's what the seed is, the Word of God. But listen, your story is the affirmation of the relevance and the truth of the Word. And that's what needs to be combined with the Word, because it takes it another step in the lives of people. You know as well as I do that there are people that you can think of all along the line who were in circumstances like yours. They came to know Christ, or they found a way to live their life in the midst of hardship, but because their circumstances were like yours, you could say, oh yeah, maybe that will work for me. He was a truck driver, you're a truck driver. She was an accountant, you're an accountant. She was a homemaker, you're a homemaker. He had a disability, you have a disability. It's amazing how you make connections with people, and the connections come from the similar circumstances of life. So when you find somebody who's found an answer from your circumstances of life, then you say, oh yeah, maybe that'll work for me. And you're filled with the hope that comes from the truth that comes from God and has been lived out in the midst of life. We saw it May 6th, I think it was, the first Sunday of the month of May, I think it was, that we showed the films of these cardboard testimonies. And I can remember watching those testimonies even before the service started in my office, but then in my office, again, weeping because I saw so many things that I had in common with the people who were on those cardboard testimonies from another church. Well, we put that into effect this morning, and the impact was exactly the same for me. Now, I didn't know the people who were on the screen, but it didn't make any difference because there were points of resonance between us. I knew the people here, but I didn't even need to know them, because with so many of them, I found something in common with them. And it brought hope to my heart. It brought hope to my heart because we come from the same world. Because they found an answer. That's what your story does. Your story is powerful. Don't limit your story. Don't think that it's too small. Your story is powerful. But there's a word of caution that came to me a while ago. And it's a word that I think is important for me to pass along to you. Your story may be an old story. I remember a colleague coming to me a while ago, longer than I can remember how long it was, but it was a while ago, came to me and he said, you know, you talk about June 8th, 1966, but you don't talk about anything since then. I said, after I got over the hurt that he was telling me this, then I had to deal with the hurt before God. Because if all I can tell is what happened back in June 8th, 1966, there's something missing between then and now. And what God is looking for is an everyday kind of occurrence in which I learn to walk with Jesus, and he rescues me, and he takes me to another step. And I'm never at the end of the steps, because there's another step coming here, and then there's another step coming here, and then I'm realizing, oh, I need to learn that too, and then there's another step coming there. So that when I go to men and women today, I hope that my story will be as up-to-date as the morning news. Surely not more than a week old. Surely I've met with God, and I've seen him work in my life in some way. So you've got to make sure that your story is up-to-date, because men and women are looking for something that works today. And that may sound like it's self-serving. I don't think it is. I don't blame them. I don't blame them if they're looking for something that works today. And your story needs to be a rendition of what happened in your life in recent days. But I know what it's like to be on the other side. I know what it's like. You know, you go through the door of salvation, you say yes to Jesus, and then you go into this phase not too long after that, in which you become busy with serving and busy with attending and busy with doing and trying to get your disciplines all down in terms of your quiet times and things like that, until finally you wonder, I think there was a relationship that I had before, and all I see myself doing now is checking off the list. You know what that's like, don't you? If you've been a Christian for very long, you probably do. One of my favorite authors puts it this way. He says, some years into our spiritual journey, after the waves of anticipation that mark the beginning of any pilgrimage have begun to ebb into life's middle years of service and busyness, a voice speaks to us in the midst of all we're doing. And the voice says, there's something missing, isn't there? There is something more. That's what I'm talking about. It's the more. It's the update. It's more than the treadmill that gets me doing all the right things and gets me very busy and gets me serving and using my gifts, as important as all that is, that gets me into the Bible on a daily basis, and I memorize this verse, and then I pray, and then I do the things that I'm supposed to do, and I check them off the list for the day. There's something more to it than that. And the more is a daily walk with Jesus that becomes more and more personal on a daily basis. As the weeks go by, he becomes more and more real to me, as real to me as any person in the room that's in here now. And I know him as well as I know anybody, including my own spouse, and you do too, including your own best friend or your own spouse or your own brother or your own sister. That's the more. That's the more, and it's the relationship. Friend, if you have gotten stuck on the treadmill of life, I appreciate all the time you invest in serving and all the time you invest in doing the right things, but I want you to know there's more, and I'd love to help you find that more or have somebody else help you find that more. But what I'm going to end up doing is pointing you back towards the relationship and sitting back and finding the more in the presence of Jesus. Your story has to be up to date, or people are going to say, oh, that's nice. If it's up to date, they're going to say, oh, that might be for me. One last word about your story. Make sure that your story is his story. And people hear it that way. Your story must be his story. This is subtle. This is really, really hard to get a handle on. We can be so focused with the before and the after that what people say after they hear our story is, boy, what a great guy he is. Or what a wonderful lady she is. What a disciplined man he is. What a loving, gracious person she is. And miss the point of the story. Because my story has to be subservient to his story. Like John the Baptist said, I must go back in the line someplace. He must take the front spot in the marching. He must be seen in the story that I tell. And if he is not seen in the story that I tell, then there's too much spotlight on me and on all the gory details of my life. If people go away from your story and say, what a great guy he is, instead of saying, what a great God he serves, and there's something that has to be adjusted, okay? Make sure that your story is his story. Make sure that you are convinced that your story is your story, and your story is a powerful story, but make sure that your story is an up-to-date story of a traveling, walking, riding relationship with the Son of God who gives you updates on the story on a regular basis. Your story is worth telling, friend. Let me ask you to do two things. If you take that insert that's in the bulletin, there's a place down at the bottom of the insert, the message insert, and you'll see that it's a place without cardboard where you can put down your cardboard testimony. Okay? It's a place where you can list the before, and then you can list the after. And that may be when you became a Christian, that's fine. For me, it was June 8th, 1966. But it's something where God has brought you to a point, and the before is this, and it may be messy, and it may be awful looking, or it may be okay in people's minds, but you know what was there. And then Jesus got a hold of your life, and he brought you to this after spot. And you saw those. You saw those on the cards. And you can have a card like that if you want to make one up. In fact, maybe we'll have another time you can share that. But just for your own satisfaction and to sift through what I've been saying this morning, you know, on that piece of paper, put the before and then put the after. And then secondly, grab hold of some of these people who had cardboard this morning and get the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. Yeah. Because, boy, I'll tell you, we just saw the tip of the iceberg today. We just saw the faint glimmers of what God has been doing in their life. And there's a whole lot more that at least some of them be willing to tell you. Maybe not everybody, but at least some of them. And then I have to add one more thing. If you don't have a story, boy, start today. You know? If you're here with somebody else and you haven't come into a church like ours before, or if you've been coming week after week after week and you don't have a story, you can't say, man, I can look back and I know that God has changed my life from darkness to light. God has straightened out the mess of my life and given me a sense of his direction and his purpose and his freedom and his forgiveness. God has done all of that. And it doesn't have to look like my story. It doesn't have to do anything with Japan or 1966 or anything like that. It just has to be a story. Where you can say, yeah, God did this in promise of his word, and he lived it out in my life, and now I'm seeing this in my life. And if I can help you, I can help you find the story, start. I'd love to do that. So you let me know. I want to talk about getting the story started. Let me know on your connection card. Talk to me. Call me. Email me. Do something. But don't go away with no story. That would be tragic. Now let's pray. Lord, I remember one of the cardboard testimonies. I can't remember whose it was, but it had something about, now I'm precious to God. And I thank you that we are all precious to you, that you see every single one of us, and you see, Lord, all the things that are a part of our life, some good, some bad, some that we'd be embarrassed to show on the screen before other people, even our closest and most intimate loved ones. And you want to change that, Lord. It is your heart's desire to change that so that we might move into light and into freedom and into the joy that only you can give. So I pray for men and women, Father, who are struggling to figure out if they even have a story and wondering where you are in the midst of life and in the midst of the mess that they're finding themselves in, or of the fullness that they seem to have right now but know can disappear at any moment. Lord, would you touch their hearts? Would you touch our hearts, Lord, as men and women who have started the story? We started the journey, but we need updates, God. And we need updates that can come only as we sit with you, as we listen to you, as we watch for you, as we learn to recognize your fingerprints in the midst of our lives. Do that, we pray, even as we come to the table, God, which is really your story and the most important story of how you came to rescue us and to give us life. We thank you for the life that you give us in Jesus Christ, and we pray, Lord, that it might find a richer fulfillment in our lives now, for we ask it in his name. Amen.